Please turn with me in your Bibles here this evening, congregation, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, where we'll read a section out of the middle of that chapter, and then turn to Matthew chapter 12. So you'll need both of those places found in your Bibles as we read here tonight. Proverbs 12, beginning at verse 17, and then we'll look at Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 33. First, though, Proverbs chapter 12, beginning at verse 17. Congregation, hear the word of the Lord as it is read for you tonight. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. No ill befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Keep your finger there at Proverbs, but then turn to Matthew chapter 12, and we begin reading at verse 33, a well-known passage of our Lord where he confronts the Pharisees about what's going on in their heart. Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May his Holy Spirit bless it to our hearts. Let's ask for that blessing even now in a time of prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you for challenging us about our words, but ultimately challenging us about our hearts from which those words come. So we pray, teach us, even here this night. Holy Spirit, be with us, even as this ninth commandment is set before us, and how our world is, our tongue is a world of evil. Father, teach us. Point us to our Savior. Show us that it is only in Christ that we can have new hearts and words of blessing. Grant that blessing to us, even here this evening. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, tonight, as I mentioned, we study the ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And really, again this evening, in our fallen and sinful state, our heart rather easily convinces our mind that this commandment doesn't really apply to us. Us nice people sitting in church here on Sunday afternoon. Instead, we like to tell ourselves that this commandment has more to do with those people who are called to testify in a court of law. Someone who's been summoned to appear before a judicial proceeding in order to be a witness in a trial. They need to make sure they tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But me? Little old me? Sitting here tonight? Going off to work tomorrow? Taking care of the children tomorrow? Interacting with friends and family tomorrow? Does this ninth commandment really apply to me? Holy Scripture, beloved, tells us yes, it does. That it doesn't is what our heart and our mind try to convince us. But our Lord clearly teaches us otherwise. And that leads us into the first point of the message here tonight, a needed introduction. And Matthew 12 is that needed introduction, because in this chapter, our Lord makes it very clear that even our carelessly spoken words have eternal significance. Look again at these verses with me. Start at verse 34. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Beloved, let that dwell in your heart and your mind for just a moment. Chew on this truth, that the words we speak will either justify us or condemn us. Now, I can hear some of you saying to yourself, I think, well, yeah, but wait a minute, preach. You know, I thought Jesus is the only one who justifies us. I'm pretty sure I've heard you say before that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. So how can our Lord say what he does here in this verse? Well, beloved, understand, our Lord can say what he does in verse 37 of Matthew 12 based upon what he has already told us in verse 34 of Matthew 12. Look at verse 34 again. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, beloved, it is always context. Whenever we run into a difficult saying or verse of Holy Scripture that causes us to wonder, we need to study well the larger context in which that difficult verse is found. And in this instance, Jesus can rightly say in verse 37 that our words will either justify us or condemn us, because in verse 34, Jesus has made it very clear that our words overflow from our heart. Our words testify to what is going on deep in our soul. What kind of a heart we have will be known based upon the kinds of words that come out of our mouth. That's why I wanted us to hear from the book of James, who challenges us and really reinforces this teaching of our Lord when in that chapter, chapter 3 of his epistle, he states that our mouths are like springs of water. Foul water cannot come out of a pure spring. Neither can pure water come out of a bitter spring. Our words bubble up from our soul. So how is your soul, beloved? Don't miss how Jesus begins verse 34 of Matthew 12. You brood of vipers. In other words, he's saying, you sons of the serpent. Our Lord, with these words, is directly addressing the Pharisees. And in the even broader context of these verses of our text tonight, you'll see that in verse 22 of Matthew 12, our Lord has just healed a demon-possessed person. And the crowds who witness this are amazed. They start to ask among themselves if just maybe this new prophet from Nazareth might be the promised son of David, who we've been looking forward to coming. But the Pharisees, notice in verse 24, in order to squelch such talk, tell the people, no, no, no. Jesus is only able to cast out demons because he himself is a demon. He's not the son of David. He's the son of Satan, the Pharisees are claiming. And immediately our Lord jumps all over them, pointing out, notice in verses 25 through 30, how illogical their argument against him is. And not just is their argument illogical, but Jesus goes on in verses 31 and 32 to warn them that they are speaking heresy, that they are on the verge of committing the unpardonable sin against the Holy Spirit, blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which that then leads into what he says in verses 33 through 37, revealing why their words are so sinful, and it's because their hearts are so sinful. They're not redeemed. They're not regenerated by God. They have not been made new inwardly. And so they're not justified before God. So their depraved words reveal their condemned soul. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And by saying this, our Savior is simply restating what is the ultimate truth of the ninth commandment, a truth that is repeated often in both the Old and the New Testament alike. The Bible makes clear that God condemns all verbal sin, such as lies, gossip, and insults. By placing it in the 10th commandment, he puts that on the same level as adultery, murder, and theft. So our words are important. There's no such thing as a little sin in the eyes of a holy God. Now, we sinners might not think much about these careless words that we speak, as they're called in verse 36, but God will hold us accountable for every one of those words on the day that we die. And this is why the ninth commandment applies to every single one of us here tonight, not just to someone who's testifying in a court of law. So, beloved, this truth should drive every one of us to our knees in repentance, seeking forgiveness from the Lord. For who here has kept their tongue so perfectly in check? Who here has never said or even thought one careless word? Again, James 3 challenges us, calling our tongue a world of evil. So what possible hope do we have of keeping the ninth commandment? How can we ever control such a small yet out of control member of our body? Beloved, our hope is found only in Jesus Christ. Only when our heart has first been changed by grace through faith, through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, only when we use our tongue to confess no hope in ourselves, but that all of our hope comes only in Jesus Christ alone, then with new hearts, we can begin to have a blessed speech. And so that really, beloved, is a long and necessary introduction to our scripture passage for tonight. So how can we follow the words of Solomon in the book of Proverbs? Turn back to that now with me. Proverbs chapter 12. For King Solomon in verses 17 through 22 holds out six proverbs before us this evening that really expand upon and explain the ninth commandment for everyday life. The ninth commandment for everyday life. Here's the second point of the message tonight. Begin by looking at verse 17, because Solomon there really kind of sets the stage for what he's going to tell us in these next proverbs. Verse 17, whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. Now stop there, congregation. The NIV translates this verse even more plainly when it states, a truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. Now, on a surface reading of this, congregation, Solomon seems to really just be stating the obvious, doesn't he? Did it really take the world's smartest man to come up with this one? In essence, he's saying a truthful witness tells the truth and a liar tells lies. Well, that's obvious. But beloved, when you're reading the Proverbs, don't be content with the obvious. Dwell on it a minute. Think on this. Search for the deeper truth that they are telling us. Because you see, by contrasting in this proverb honest to deceit and truth to false, Solomon wants us to bring to mind the one great truth that runs all through Holy Scripture from beginning to end, and which began already in Genesis chapter 3. It is what our spiritual forefathers referred to as the great antithesis. The great antithesis. Now, the antithesis refers to the biblical truth that in God's sight, ultimately, there are really only two types of people who inhabit this world: the people of God and the people of Satan. The elect and the reprobate. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. As Solomon puts it here, those who speak honestly as contrasted with those who practice deceit. Truth tellers as compared to lie tellers. The antithesis. You see, this is why Jesus calls the Pharisees what he does back in Matthew chapter 12, a brood of vipers. Because you see, they're followers of that ultimate viper, the great serpent, Satan. And Solomon is saying in verse 17, the same thing that Jesus confronted the Pharisees with, namely, that by their words you will know them. Their speech will reveal either a heart justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, or their words will reveal a heart that yet remains condemned. A salty spring, as James puts it, depraved and fallen like the world around them. And verse 18 goes on to contrast this antithesis even more. Look at verse 18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Now, no, the words coming from a condemned heart, they bring death like a sword thrust, Solomon puts it. While words coming from a justified heart brings healing. Now again, notice the contrast. With his words, a reprobate tears apart and kills relationships, while the words of the elect are used by God to heal relationships, to bring them together. So be very careful, beloved, with the words that pour out of your mouth. Do they cut and kill? Or do they cure and heal? Look next at verse 19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Solomon here is urging us that when we speak, we must keep our mind on eternity, because truth stands the test of time, as compared to a lie that might seem like a good idea in the moment, in the heat of the moment, to maybe get out of a jam. I'll just tell this little white lie. But in the end, because it's based on evil, it will not last. You'll be found out. Truth is eternal. A lie lasts but for a moment. Next then, Solomon specifically also speaks about our hearts. Verse 20, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. And again, notice, beloved, the direct contrast that Solomon presents to us, a heart of deceit as compared to those who plan peace. There's that antithesis again. We spoke of peace just briefly this morning, but that Hebrew word that Solomon uses is the great Hebrew word shalom. Shalom. That's that all-encompassing, overarching feeling of wellness and wholeness that begins first and foremost deep within the soul, the heart that's been regenerated and is right with God. That's at peace with its creator, and so it's in love with its neighbor. And only such a heart can then live out and speak those words to your neighbor. as compared to those who are still wrong with God, at war with God, no peace with God. They will then devise evil in their relationships with others. Trouble just follows them wherever they go, which is really what Solomon speaks of next. Verse 21, notice that. No ill befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Now, we need to be careful with this verse, beloved, because it does not promise us, when it says there that no ill befalls the righteous, that does not mean that the child of God will never have issues in life, that no harm, no ill will ever come to them in life. But what this means is that no eternal ill will come to them, because their heavenly Father is holding them in the hollow of his hand. What he does allow to come will only make them spiritually stronger, will push them even more into the arms of their Savior. And this truth was echoed by Paul in Romans 8, verse 28, a very familiar verse to us, isn't it, when he states that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Doesn't mean all things are good. It might be a very hard thing that the Lord's asking you to go through, but it will push you closer to your Savior. The Lord will take care of his people in this life, while the Lord also just lets the wicked fill up evil in their life. Well, then Solomon really summarizes all of this with verse 22. Verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Beloved, that is a perfect summary of the ninth commandment and of what our Lord was telling the Pharisees as well. The Lord watches over all men, the lie tellers and the truth tellers alike. Everyone will have to one day give an account for every idle word that they speak. Beloved, let that truth humble you and let it draw you closer to your Savior in confessing your need for forgiveness. Well, thirdly here tonight, and really just briefly, turn to Lord's Day 43 with me in your catechism. In the backs of your Trinity Psalter hymnals, Lord's Day 43 can be found on page 893, or if you're using the forms and prayers book in front of you, it's found on page 250. Lord's Day 43. It's important for us to hear the explanation that our catechism gives to us on this ninth commandment. Because, beloved, everything that we have said thus far this evening could be seen by some as just kind of more doctrinal, heady, theological, theoretical even. I mean, it's all true what we've said so far, but it's not really all that practical for my everyday life. I can envision someone sitting in church here tonight and, in theory, anyway, nodding their head in total agreement to all of our Lord's teachings in Matthew 12 about words that justify and words that condemn. I can imagine someone who might agree that yes, the heart must first be changed by the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ before our words will ever be a blessing to others around us. I can foresee someone tonight who would even agree, in theory at least, that Solomon's contention that there are really only two types of people here on planet Earth, the truth tellers who have hearts revived in Christ, and the lie tellers who are perfectly content belonging to Satan. In other words, you see, beloved, I can picture someone who would agree with everything we've said thus far tonight, but then also say in their heart, but this really doesn't apply to me. I don't have a big problem with words spewing out of my mouth that I regret. I got a good handle on my tongue. I don't ever get in trouble with the words that I say. Now, I'm glad, you know, that person over there is here. He needs to hear this. But me, I'm fine. Well, beloved, I hope that's true. But congregation, our catechism brings this teaching of the ninth commandment right down into every one of our own hearts and souls. Whether we need special help controlling our speech or not. Because you see, our catechism applies our words to their positive use of being a blessing to others. Not just the negative when we speak evil of others. So do all our words, even our every thought, protect, defend, and advance my neighbor's honor and reputation, as our catechism is going to instruct us in a minute? You see, there's why we all need to hear what our catechism has to say on the ninth commandment. Look at question and answer 112. What is God's will for you in the ninth commandment? The answer comes that I never give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone rashly or without a hearing. Rather, I should avoid, under penalty of God's wrath, every kind of lying and deceit as the very works of the devil. So, in a court of law, that's envisioned here. But so is what you post on social media. Every word, every thought that rambles around in your head. Okay, none of that. Here's the positive. And in court and everywhere else, I should love the truth, speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it, and I should do what I can to defend and advance my neighbor's honor and reputation. There's the positive expectations for us by God. You can hear how our catechism writers, again, in explaining the commandments, use both the negative implications and the positive expectations that arise for us as God's people in this world. This commandment concerning our speech follows closely on the heels of the eighth commandment, which concerns stealing. Last time that we were together, you might remember, in the eighth commandment, we were told God expects us to be careful in guarding our neighbor's possessions. Well, here in the ninth commandment, we're told God expects us to also guard our neighbor's good name. So as we conclude here this evening, beloved, I would ask you to remember that those who have God as their Father through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit and the redeeming work of Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, we are called upon to bring all things under the control of and in submission to Jesus Christ. And part of these all things includes our tongue, the words that we speak. And it's not just do not speak evil, but it's also do speak good. Speak blessing to others. Use your words to bless your neighbor, to build up and to encourage that one sitting closest to you, so that they can see and hear that your speech is coming from a redeemed soul. So let me reiterate here tonight, beloved, the great gospel truth of who it is that can control this world of evil within us. As James talks about, beloved, it is only our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hard as you try, you are going to fail in the words that you speak and the thoughts that you have. Only that person whose heart is first controlled by Jesus Christ, and whose mouth then is busy expressing their joy found in the finished work of Jesus Christ, only they will have mouths then that seek to honor Christ and to bring blessing to others. The mouth of the reprobate is used by the devil to bring condemnation, but the mouth of the redeemed is used of God to bring blessing. And so, beloved, may the abundance of your heart bring glory to God and blessing to others as you go out into that world this week. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do give thanks to you for your great work of grace. And Father, we also confess tonight how much we need that grace, as our very words that we speak have been challenged this evening. So lead and guide and bless these, your people. Work in their heart in such a way that indeed the whole world can see that a heart has been changed and redeemed by the life-giving work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grant your blessing upon these, your people. May we indeed, each one, guard our speech and bring blessing. Use our tongues to bless those closest to us. Watch over us. Grant us this guidance. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen.